light can open your eyes. One book can open your world. Knowledge gives you power. Read and rise higher.
Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Federalist Papers is a sequence of 85 essays by Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay, written in 1787 to 1788 to promote adoption of the United States Constitution. Blending political philosophy with practical governance, the essays explain why a stronger federal union was essential to secure liberty, maintain order, and enable national prosperity after the shortcomings of the Articles of Confederation. Published under the pen name Publius in New York newspapers, these pieces have become a foundational guide to constitutional design and public reasoning. Hamilton develops the need for national energy in finance, defense, and administration. Madison addresses the control of faction, the logic of representation, and the architecture of separation of powers. Jay focuses on union and foreign affairs. Together, they compose a masterclass in federalism, checks and balances, and institutional incentives that still informs law, policy, and civic life. Reading this classic equips citizens and leaders to think clearly about power, accountability, and the durable safeguards of a free republic. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the case for union over confederation. The opening essays argue that a durable union is the surest guardian of peace, liberty, and prosperity, while a loose confederation invites weakness and discord. Publius catalogues the defects of the Articles of Confederation, including inadequate taxation authority, inability to regulate commerce, and a failure to provide for common defense. Without an effective national government, states underbid and undercut one another, foreign powers exploit divisions, and crises expose the fragility of ad hoc cooperation. Union brings scale and coordination. A single national authority can negotiate treaties, deter aggression, and manage trade with consistency, reducing the incentives for smuggling, retaliation, and interstate rivalry. Union also lowers the risk of domestic turbulence by aligning incentives across regions and creating predictable rules. Critics feared consolidation would swallow local autonomy, but Publius emphasizes that the proposed constitution retains meaningful state powers while empowering the center to do what only a nation can do. The result is a structure designed to secure both safety and freedom by combining local knowledge with national strength. Secondly, separation of powers and checks and balances. Publius defends a constitution that divides legislative, executive, and judicial power while equipping each branch with constitutional tools to resist encroachments by the others. Simple parchment barriers are not enough. Because power seeks to expand, each branch must have the means and the motive to defend its proper sphere. Hence the design that mixes selection methods, terms, and incentives, and that enables mutual checks such as veto, bicameralism, and judicial review. The aim is not to make government inert, but to channel ambition so that no single center of authority can dominate. The legislature receives primacy in republican government, yet it is carefully divided into two houses with different constituencies and time horizons to moderate haste and faction. The executive gains a qualified veto to force reconsideration and to protect the office against legislative overreach. The judiciary, dependent on neither purse nor sword, relies on judgment and independence to secure the Constitution as fundamental law. This architecture ties liberty to structure, making freedom a byproduct of balanced incentives, not of goodwill alone. Thirdly, energetic and accountable executive. Hamilton argues that an effective republic requires an energetic executive, capable of prompt action, unity of purpose, and steady administration. Energy arises from unity, duration in office, adequate support, and competent powers. A single executive fosters decisiveness and accountability by making it clear who is responsible for success or failure. Longer but limited terms encourage expertise and discourage short-term pandering while preserving electoral checks. The veto, command of administration, and authority in foreign affairs and defense are not privileges for personal rule, but tools to protect the community against faction, sudden passions, and legislative overreach. Critics feared monarchy in disguise, yet the design surrounds the office with constraints, including impeachment, elections, and legal limits. The unitary structure also reduces blame shifting among multiple executives and guards against deadlock and crises. By combining vigor with responsibility, the Constitution seeks to produce a chief magistrate who can act when action is required, be reviewed when review is due, and be removed when trust is breached. This balance elevates both liberty and effective governance. Fourthly, extended republic and the control of faction. Madison reframes a classic problem of self-government. Faction is inevitable because people hold diverse interests and opinions. The question is how to control the effects of faction without destroying liberty. The answer is an extended republic that multiplies interests across a large territory and refines public views through representation. In a small polity, a majority faction can more easily coordinate and oppress minorities. In a large union, diverse economic, regional, and religious interests make it harder for any single faction to gain durable dominance. Representation filters popular passions through deliberation, encouraging candidates who can appeal across groups and time. Federalism adds another layer of protection by splitting authority between national and state governments, further complicating the path to abusive majorities. This design does not demand perfect citizens. It manages conflict through structure and scale. By dispersing power and encouraging coalition building, the extended republic channels ambition into bargaining and compromise, turning plurality from a threat into a source of stability and liberty. Lastly, independent judiciary and constitutional supremacy. The essays on the judiciary defend a court system designed to be independent, learned, and faithful to the Constitution as supreme law. Judges hold office during good behavior to insulate their judgment from transient majorities and political retaliation. Without either sword or purse, the judiciary relies on reasoned decisions to command respect. Its core duty is to interpret law and to prefer the Constitution over conflicting statutes, because the people have ordained the higher rule. Judicial review is presented not as supremacy of judges over legislators, but as fidelity to the charter that binds both. Independence is balanced by constraints such as jurisdictional limits, requirement of cases and controversies, and the political branch's control over appointments and enforcement. The court shields rights, maintains uniformity in national law, and stabilizes expectations for citizens and markets. Far from being a threat to democracy, an impartial judiciary preserves democratic processes by keeping government within its assigned bounds and by ensuring that changes come through amendment or legislation, not through quiet erosion of constitutional limits. In conclusion, this book is essential for students, lawyers, historians, policymakers, and any citizen who wants to understand how constitutional structure protects freedom in real life. It offers a clear framework for analyzing current debates on executive power, congressional authority, courts, federalism, and the balance between security and liberty. As a primary source written by leading founders, it delivers insight that no summary or secondary commentary can fully replace. Reading it cultivates habits of reasoning about incentives, trade-offs, and institutional design that improve leadership, civic engagement, and everyday decision-making. Choose this book over generic civics guides because it unites theory with practice, showing why specific mechanisms such as checks and balances, extended republic, and an energetic executive still matter. Investing in the Federalist Papers is not only a study of history, it is practical instruction for evaluating policies, holding leaders accountable, and defending a constitutional culture that enables both liberty and effective governance. If you would like to support Alexander Hamilton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.
1 minute can open your eyes. 1 book can open your world. Knowledge gives you power.